That didn't happen without a lot of exercising, a lot of practice. We are this summer looking at godliness exercises, or a lot of people would call them spiritual disciplines. In fact, most people would call them spiritual disciplines. I'm using the phrase godliness exercises because the theme for it, the main verse for this idea, for anybody that talks about it, is 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, where Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Exercise without something to do, a discipline without direction, is drudgery. Like, why are we doing this? That's why in school we have to motivate, we have to like keep the goal in front of them. And even in our own lives, at different times, we need to see what the goal is. And for believers, for Christians, the goal, or what we will become, is conformed to the image of Christ. And that is the direction. We know someday we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But the Bible instructs us that we're not just supposed to sit around and do nothing and wait for that day to come. How should we grow toward godliness? It takes discipline. It takes exercising. And that's what we see in this verse. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Spiritual disciplines are activities. They're not attitudes. And I'm reviewing, but I think it's helpful. We're going to, through the summer, look at just biblical exercises. Since they're found in Scripture, they're good enough. They're sufficient. We don't need to find other ways to grow in godliness that the Bible doesn't talk about. We should remember that growing in godliness isn't separate from being saved. It grows out of being saved. So it's not like we get saved and we forget about the gospel and then we do all these works. We are exercising, we are doing things, but we can only do them as we depend on the strength of the Holy Spirit, who indwells us once we're saved. They are means. They are something that we do. They're not the only thing that we do. They're not the purpose that we have for living. They're just means to the end, but we can't get to that end. We can't get to that goal. We can't be obeying Scripture unless we're doing these things. God does use other means to grow us. He puts people in our lives that challenge us. He puts us into circumstances where we can depend on him or we can depend on ourselves. We can grow or not grow through our interactions with people or our response to circumstances. But those things are we don't have much control over. Exercising ourselves to godliness, we do have control over. We can decide whether we're going to get up and read the Bible or not. So, and the Lord expects these from us. The verse says, exercise. It's like, do it. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. You don't just accidentally follow the Lord. Just like you don't accidentally follow somebody, you know, if you're downtown Chicago or downtown wherever, you might look up and see the same person again 5 minutes later from the first time you saw him, but that doesn't happen very often, and it won't happen for long, because pretty soon you're going to go the way you want to go. He's going the way he wants to go. If you're following somebody, you do it on purpose. And to follow Christ, you have to do that on purpose. If we don't, there's danger in missing out on these, on neglecting them. One danger, as I've said, is that you may miss out on heaven altogether. And I just mention that because it's not that these exercises gain you entrance into heaven, but once we're saved, the Spirit of God dwells within us. And if there's no desire to grow toward godliness, if there's no desire for that, maybe the Spirit of God isn't inside of us. And so that would be a place to examine ourselves about. Of course, if we are saved and we're not working toward godliness, we will bear little fruit that remains. So, the spiritual discipline that is the most important, it's kind of foundational, is getting the Bible into our lives. And there's a lot of different ways to get the Bible into our lives. I'm going to use a term that was used in a resource that has helped me a lot with this, or I don't know if it's helped me. But it's challenged me a lot with this, and I'm sharing that challenge with you. And that's the term Bible intake. It makes sense, but getting the Bible into our lives is just a short-term Bible intake. There's probably more, but we're discussing six different ways that we interact with the Bible to get the Bible into our lives. And we talked about the first one last week, and we're starting with the ones that are easiest to the ones that are the hardest. Generally, maybe for some of you, number five is just that's you just do that all the time, but for some of these things, you can't do the other ones unless you're doing the first ones. The first one is hearing God's word. We mentioned this last week, hearing God's word. And it is a discipline or an exercise for some people. Sometimes, how do we say this? Some disciplines are easier to do if you set yourself up to do them right. I mean, my wife saw that I ate a whole bunch of potato chips yesterday. You know why? They were in the house. I wouldn't have eaten potato chips yesterday if they weren't in the house. Okay? So I could eliminate the potato chip eating if we didn't have any potato chips in the house, right? Just a simple thing. It's kind of the other way around, but you can take care of hearing God's word in a significant way if you just make sure you're in church. Okay? Now, all of you are here. Praise the Lord. But it's the easiest way to make sure you're hearing God's word is to attend church regularly, a faithful church, one that preaches the gospel and preaches the whole counsel of God. The gospel affects everything, but some people think the gospel is just this narrow thing, and that's all they preach. But a place that preaches everything the Bible says, that's a good way. That's the primary way. It's the biblical way to hear. Yeah, let's say it that way. It's the biblical way to hear God's word, because they didn't have recordings back there in Bible times. Peter's sermons weren't being broadcasted on Apple Podcasts or YouTube or something like that, or even by cassette ministry or reel-to-reel tape ministry or whatever they have. So, hearing God's word, but that takes discipline. If you're here, you've worked toward that. Some of us, it just seems like that's something that we do. Okay, so we could check that off. But there are ways to make sure that we are actually listening when we come and hear God's word, that we are following what we hear. Jesus said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So we're going to move along through this. In addition to hearing God's word preached, you could listen to recordings, and we talked about ways that those could be helpful by listening while you're dressing, while you're cooking dinner, while you're jogging or walking or whatever you do. You could get more of God's word preached into your life. And it would be good to help. It would be good to add to our discipline of church attendance, making ourselves focus on what's going to be happening as we come to church, rather than sharing the latest baseball news or the latest football news or basketball or, sports is easy for me to think of as a guy, but whatever the other news is that people share. It's good to fellowship before church, but church's primary purpose is to come and worship God and hear from Him. So that's exercise number one. Oh, I should mention that I made handouts, a half sheet handout that lists helps to that you can just think through, and maybe some of them would be like, make sure you do these things. Others is like, if you're going to do this, here's a bunch of different ways that you can do it. You don't have to do them all. I don't think we're going to make it to meditation, but there's a list of ways to meditate on God's word. And when I was looking at that, I thought, this is helpful, because I've always kind of wondered meditation, well, we'll get there, has this, like, whatever, idea to it. And the Bible talks about doing it. So how do you do it? Anyway, I'm jumping ahead. The next way that we should get God's word into our lives is by reading the Bible. Reading the Bible. Interestingly, a survey, and this survey was taken over 30 years ago, and it was asking people who claimed to be born again Christians, it showed that only 18%, less than 2 out of every 10, read the Bible every day. Less than 2 out of every 10, 18% of born again Christians read the Bible every day. Worse than that, 23%, almost a quarter, almost 1 in 4, said they never read the Bible. And they're a born-again Christian. That's not good. And I'm sure we have people in here that read the Bible every day, and some that are like, this is too hard. I tried that once, or I tried it 6 times. But that's a big book. Or whatever. Whatever discourages us, gets us to stop. We'll talk about some of those things. But when Jesus was talking in his ministry on the earth, he said, often, he said, have you not read? Have you not heard? You know, and what is he expecting? That people have read. It implies a familiarity with the whole Word of God. Remember what he said when he was tempted? One of the times he was tempted by Satan, he replied, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He expects us to have read those words. We don't just live off of words that we haven't read. The Bible says about itself, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now, it's profitable for several things, but it's profitable, right? It's all given by inspiration and it's all profitable. So we should be reading it. Revelation, last book of the Bible, the beginning of it says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So God promises that those that read his word will be blessed. But you've got to read his word. We have to discipline ourselves to read the Bible in order to get that blessing from God. Now, this is, I think through this whole summer, we're going to be talking about making sure we have a balance between just disciplining ourselves and why we're doing this. We need to read the Bible, but we need to read the Bible so that God can grow us toward godliness through his word coming into our lives. If we just read the Bible, okay, I got that done. I'm a good Christian now. Not so much. The reason for these exercises is to grow toward godliness. But the exercises are, as we said, God has shown that he travels certain paths, just like Jesus on the way out of Jericho. He travels along certain paths, and if we want to meet him, we can meet him in these exercises. So, how often should we read the Bible? How often should we read the Bible? Well, how often do we face problems? How often do we have questions? How often do we need instruction or guidance or encouragement? How often do we need to see God's face, to hear his voice, to know his power? Every moment. Well, we're human beings. We're not, we can't be reading the Bible every moment of the day. But let's just use that, those questions to remind us. It's not like I can say, well, I'm going to read the Bible straight through. And that should tide me over for several months. Right? If I just read the Bible beginning to end, I take 4 days. I should be able to do that. In 4 days, I could read the whole Bible through, and then I'll be good for 4 months. It doesn't work that way, right? No. So we need to figure out some way, some regularity, some discipline for reading the Bible. Practical. And here's 3 suggestions to help yourself, help ourselves be consistent. Find the time. Find the time to do it. First of all, so I don't know where you are. Many of you I know have been in church for a long time, and so I could assume that you've got this figured out, but maybe not. Maybe you're one that's started, and where do you start reading a book? In the beginning, right? And you read it in Genesis, like, oh, I know these stories. Exodus, this is going good. Whoa, tabernacle, furniture dimensions, red badger skins, and then Leviticus. 63 verses about leprosy, leprosy in a house, leprosy in a cloth. And then you get to Numbers. And how do you even say all those names for 10 chapters straight? Right? So we get discouraged. We get discouraged. And that many people, they've never read a 1,000-page book before that was full of plots and all of this kind of stuff. And so the Bible is it's just big. How do we get through it? No, I think the Bible helps us get through it. It's not one. It is one book, but it's not one book that's 1,000 pages long. There's actually 66 books. But, you know, and we all know this, people have recorded the Bible. It's great. You can listen to the Bible. You can listen to somebody who really knows how to say all those words and names and everything, or at least they sound like they know how to say the names and all that, and they read through it. You know how long it takes somebody to read the Bible in a recording? About 71 hours. 71 hours. So that's a long time. But it's not forever. It can be done, right? I don't think that we're average, but maybe some are. The average person in America watches 71 hours of television in the course of 2 weeks. That's an average American. But let's just break it down. So if you could read the speed of those guys that record the Bible, if you read for 15 minutes a day, you would make it through the Bible in 1 year. 15 minutes a day. You say, wow, there's just too many hard words there and whatever. 5 minutes a day and you'd make it through the Bible in 3 years. Now, some of us might be saying 5 minutes a day. Well, we've grown. But if you've never read through the Bible at all, just try it. Just get started. Get started. So reading the Bible, getting the Bible into our lives through reading is not really a matter of it's too big, it's too hard, it's I don't want to take the time. Or when I take the time, I quit. And so what is that? That's a discipline issue. It's a spiritual discipline. So we have to do some talking to ourselves, thinking, and make ourselves find time to read the Bible. It's easiest, it's best, if it can be the same time every day. If it's the same time every day, most people have some type of a routine in their lives, maybe very loose, but you get up. Most people wake up at some time. If that's the only thing you have in your life, maybe read the Bible as soon as you wake up. But if you have some routine, find a time in your existing routine. You say, okay, whenever this happens, I stop and I read the Bible. And wherever you are, if it's 15 minutes or 5 minutes, or so, I'll talk about a few other ways you could give yourself some variety to help you get through the Bible. But make it the same time every day. It's best if you make it if you don't pick that time right before you go to sleep. There are good things to do right before you go to sleep, and getting the Word of God into your mind and heart as you drift off into sleep is good. But you won't remember much if that's when you're reading the Bible, getting it into your life when you're tired and sleepy. And often, many of the things that we can do as we read the Bible will help us throughout the day or throughout the time period following when we read the Bible. And while things do happen in our sleep, we're not normally active in that process. So you won't have much impact of that Bible reading if you just do it right before you go to bed. Doing it before you go to bed is better than not doing it at all, though. Second, this is just practical. Find a Bible reading plan. Find a Bible reading plan. And there are lots and lots and lots of them. So some of you, it's easy to see why people don't read the Bible on a regular basis or finish reading the Bible if they don't have a plan. They just start in Genesis, and then they just like, well, I'll just flip the Bible open and wherever it lands, I'm going to read that. And, oh, my, let's just turn a few pages and go there. There's no plan. So there are plans for how to read through the Bible. There's so many different plans. I'm going to just mention a few of them. And these I have listed on that piece of paper. If you're like, okay, I've only read through the Bible one way before, or I've never made it through the Bible, here's a few plans. First, just, this is not a plan, but this is a place to look. If you have a study Bible, now, my Bible is just, it's not a study Bible, but sometimes you'll have we've heard of a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, or a Schofield Study Bible, or John R. Rice, lots of study Bibles. A lot of times a study Bible will have somewhere in it, the front or the back, a list, just a plan to read through the Bible. That's helpful. Actually, our website, since 2019, for the last 4 or 5 years, we've published a study, a reading plan. And we have two of those on the church website. And if you say, I don't do the internet, somebody could do the internet for you and print it out, and you just follow through, check it off. Of course, we're not checking it off just to, you know, check it off. But if this is a discipline you're trying to get into your life, check it off. Make sure you've done it. And since we're talking about checking things off, let me mention, I mentioned this preaching once. If you miss a day, what do you do? Don't miss 2 days, right? I missed a day. Oh, I'm no good. The Lord is upset with me. Ask for forgiveness and don't let it be 2 days. Get back to checking days off. Let that checklist encourage you, but don't let it become like make you proud. So here's a couple other ways to look at getting through the Bible. You don't have a specific plan, if you read 3 chapters of the Bible every day and 5 chapters on Sunday, you'll get through the Bible in 1 year's time. So depending on where, I mean, if you're like, yeah, but I'm driving the bus at 6:45 on Sunday morning, pick a different day. But if you read 3 chapters of the Bible every day and 5 chapters once a week, and Sunday wouldn't be a bad day for that for most of us, you get through the whole Bible in 1 year's time. If you read 3 chapters in the Old Testament and 3 chapters in the New Testament every day. Now, that's a little bit more reading. But you finish the Old Testament once, and the New Testament you'd go through 4 times in 1 year. The Old Testament, we wouldn't have the New Testament without the Old Testament. But there are a lot of things in the Old Testament that it's harder for us to see the connection to what we... it is connected, but it's harder for us. So reading the New Testament more is helpful, since we are in the New Testament age. Some people like to read this way. You could read in 5 different places every day. So you could start in Genesis. You could start in Joshua, which is Old Testament history. Start in Job, the poetry books. Read in Isaiah, and then start in Matthew. So those 4 sections of the Old Testament and the New Testament, those sections are basically about the same amount of chapters, or the same amount of reading. So if you read 1 chapter in each of those places, you would finish them all about the same time. You could do that dividing the Bible into 3 places, like Genesis, Job, and Matthew would get you through about the same amount of time. There's all different ways. Now, why would you read in different places in the day? Because you might say, I'd rather not have a day where I'm reading what is it, 2 Chronicles 3, 4, and 5, with all those names. I can't follow anything in there. So reading some people read some in the Old Testament and the New Testament each day. I have a 2-year reading plan where I start with a psalm, because most of the psalms are praise a lot of times, praise and prayer, and then read some in the Old Testament or the New Testament, and then end with Proverbs. You've heard about how Proverbs has 31 chapters in it, and some people like to read just a chapter of Proverbs each day. There's so much practical, like, get up and do it and don't do that, and wisdom there. So there's a lot of different ways. That variety helps us. I was reading, and this, many who intend to read through the Bible become confused in Leviticus, discouraged in Numbers, and give up completely by Deuteronomy. And we've been there. But when you're reading in more than one place, it's easier to, it's Leviticus. I'm going to read this, try to figure it out, but then I'm going to Jeremiah or something like that. There are many of you who have been saved and reading the Bible for a long time, and I don't mind sharing. Last year, I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit or whatever, but I got a lot of help out of it. I didn't read any Old Testament in my devotional reading time, Bible reading time. I read one gospel and the rest of the New Testament every month with 20 minutes of reading for me. We read at different speeds. I read Matthew and then the rest of the New Testament. And then in February, I read March and the rest of the New Testament. So I got the New Testament 12 times, basically a gospel and the New Testament 12 times through the course of last year. And it was really, really, you see different things when it's not been that long since you've read it, or you've reading it for the fifth time in 5 months. So there's all different things, ways that you could be creative. But some of those are just simple, but that's just a practical help to help us be consistent, because reading the Bible does take discipline. Even if you don't read through the Bible, even if you don't, let's say, that's too complicated. Do this. Put a check mark next to the chapter titles. Chapter 27, I've read chapter 27. Check it off. Psalm 51, I've read it. Just check off as you read through. You say, wow, that chapter was long. I barely even made it through that. I can't read it. You could just check them off and get your way through the whole Bible. Once you get through it once, it's easier the second time around and the third time around. I'm not like... Did Pastor Sorensen reads it through 7 or 8 times a year? Wow. But anyway, you can tell when he preaches, though, right? He's filled with the Bible. He does more than read it. A third suggestion, and this is one that I need to work on myself even more, is to find one word, find at least one word or phrase or verse to think on, to meditate on each time that you read. So we're going to look at that a little more, meditation more closely in the next time. But without thinking on it, we could close the Bible and not remember anything we've read. I was going to say that in just I won't have time. But how many of you sweat as badly as me when the preacher, when it starts going around so what'd you get out of your devotions today? It's like, I know I read. Where did you, I don't even know the chapter. What book was I in? But so if we just say, okay, while I'm reading, I want to just, even if one word pop out, one verse, one idea, phrase, that if we can make ourselves think upon that, that'll help us get value out of reading. It'll be more than just checking it off, and it'll help us want to get back to it also. So I would like to, and I don't have much time, but I'd like to just give you some word helps for reading the Bible. The English that we read is about, 1763, 1769. It's 250 years old. Most of it we can get right away, but there's some words that show up a lot in the Bible And it's like, what does that mean? I think I know what that means. So I'm just going to give you a couple helps that'll help you as you're going along understand more quickly. And these are, I think a lot of them are easy to remember. Some is just to notice. So how many know what the words hence, whence, and thence? Now, once you hear them together, you say, oh, they're similar. Hence, whence, and thence are related to the words here, where, and there. So hence, whence, and thence mean from here, from where, from there. So, and sometimes it'll say from thence or from whence, and those are easier to get. But when you see hence, whence, and thence, think from here, from where, from there. How about hither, whither, and thither? Same thing. Now there's a wither that's like the leaves are withering. That's a different spelling. But it sounds the same, right? Hither, whither, and thither are to here, to where, or to there. Now, we don't always say, I'm going to where, but if you've done like, what's whither mean? If you just put to where in there, it'll help you understand what's happening in the passage that you're reading. Hither, whither, and thither are to here, to where, to there, whence, hence, and thence, from where, from here, from there. The word against does not, against can happen different ways. I can be right up against the wall. I could be pushing against the wall. I could be over opposite against the wall. And you can get that as you read the scriptures, but against doesn't always mean it has nuances. And noticing that helps you understand what's going on in the text. Why do we want to understand what's going on in the text? Because we open the Bible. If I just read it, I don't understand a thing. It's really hard to get back to it the next day if I didn't understand. There's so much stuff I didn't understand. So, other words that we can easily remember. Without. The word without doesn't always mean that you don't have it. Sometimes it means you're not in it. So within, when we see within and without, we know that's similar to inside and outside. But if somebody's without the gate, it doesn't mean that they don't have the gate in their pocket. It means they're outside the gate. Simple, and that's why I'm just bringing these up. They're simple, but it should help us. To wit. That wit has to do with our wits, knowledge. How about that? So to know, or what? I wot not, I know not. So wit and wot have to do with know. How about all those Fs? Runneth, spelleth, liveth, dieth. So there's some understanding that the Fs are more precise because it's a translation, but generally, Fs are in the present tense, and so traveleth means travels. Okay, flourisheth means flourishes. So it's in the present tense. Hath means has, and that's helpful. It is helpful, and because sometimes hath sounds more like had. Had and hath sound similar. Hath and has does not sound as similar, but hath means has, doesn't mean had. And it does make a difference. If somebody had something, that means they don't have it, which means, but if he has it, he does have it, right? So has and had are different tenses. Something happened, and understanding that is helpful. So hath is has. Now, thee and thou. You know, there's not really a substitute for that. We would say, hey, you, but you could mean, hey, all of you, or hey, you, one of you, and thee is a singular person. And so it's important that we recognize that if you just substitute, oh, it just means you, it doesn't, it's a particular you, and that's why it's thee. And we've talked about this a fair amount in when I've taught here. And I think you know this, but when we see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is God's personal name. It's a substitute for God's personal name, which is Jehovah. Any other name in the Bible for God could be ascribed to something else. It might not be rightly ascribed, but it's a title. All the other names of God are titles. God has one personal name, and that's Jehovah. And it can help you if you're when you're seeing that, they think, don't think, oh, that's his personal name. You just think Jehovah. Because using God's personal name invites you into a personal relationship with him. It's not just, now he is high and above us, but he said he'd be known by the name Jehovah. So I'm going way over, but I got through that part. So the next time we'll talk about the harder ones. Listening to the Word of God and reading the Word of God are the easy parts of getting the Word of God into our lives. Let's pray.